Alex, my husband, who's over there. He's here behind me. I've been given this job of being just telling you the little beginning of the story. When he was diagnosed with what's called myelodysplasia, Alex decided to stay for prayer for healing at the end of the morning service and at the end of the evening service at Budok. So for the first time round, it was this chap here we call Dr. P, okay? And as soon as I mentioned the word myelodysplasia, Pete said, dry bones. And in my head here, I thought straight away, the valley of the dry bones, but I didn't speak. And then he came up with the valley of the dry bones. And off you go, Pete.
I'm a GP. I'm not a hematologist or anything. But I think a lot of you may know that myelodysplasia and myelofibrosis are basically a condition that start to fade, including the ones that would control infection and stuff like that. On that day,
I forgot to say that when Pete said Valley of Dry Bones, he just went over, got a Bible, got out his seven, and I've never heard the word of the Lord spoken so powerfully.
Alex felt that his bones were being floating, I think was what you said at the time, that he felt that something was happened. So we want to read the Valley of Dry Bones before we get on to the next bit. And I think it was obviously prophetic at the time, but I think it's also quite prophetic for what's happening here. So if anybody is feeling dry when we read it, whether it's just for you or the host, the mission is probably the best word, want to spread the word and also just to see about setting this up, make sure it doesn't become too comfortable. And I think that's very pertinent that we want it to be forceful and potent and something that the Lord is doing. So I'm just going to read the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm going to come and stand in the middle while I read it. So if you just want to think how you are, I'll take that with me. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and then brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So the next bit of the story, it's over to Charles.
Over to evening prayer in Budok.
Okay. I was asked to preface this little story by saying to you, you know when you have a compelling feeling to get in touch with someone, to ring them up or send an email these days, and you do it, and it's confirmed that that was exactly the right thing to do. We've all had that experience. Well, I personally believe, and I'm sure many of you do here as well, that this is God's Holy Spirit guiding us and encouraging us. And I believe God speaks to us in all sorts of ways. And one of these ways is by giving us pictures, visions, dreams. It happened a lot in the Bible, and it still happens today. And when we began praying for Alex on the first occasion, I had this weird picture. And in my experience, the more weird it is, the more appropriate it is. So feeling a bit of a fool, I shared this picture with our little group. And it was of a set of dominoes on a table. And they were all lining themselves up as if by magic, no one touching them, but all in the right order, and a sort of winning solution. And I went home and thought little more about it, except that we all have bits of dominoes in our lives all over the place, and we try and come up with winning solutions, and we can't, we make a mess of it. And really what we need to do is put our trust in the Lord rather than in our own ability to find solutions. But I really didn't think very much more about it. I did come across the word dominoes the following week, the book I was reading, and I have to say I'm very, very wary of manipulating things so that I can go around and say, oh yeah, then God spoke to me and it was confirmed this way and the other way. So that's just so you know what sort of person I am, because I need to finish this story with what happened a few weeks later. And this picture of the dominoes meant a lot to Alex and Christy. I don't quite know why, but it came up every evening, and after about 4 weeks we'd been talking about the dominoes again. And I went home Sunday evening, and quite late I was rummaging through a chest of drawers, and it's not what you'd call a man drawer, but it's a sort of drawer where I keep a few socks and handkerchiefs and a lot of things I've had since I was a little boy, kind of things you've had from school or been given by a grandparent, that kind of thing. And I found this egg, something in it, and I looked at this egg and I thought, oh, that old egg, I haven't seen that for ages. And it's made out of wood, cedar, something like that. Anyhow, I looked at it, and I can't really think of an egg without thinking of new life and the resurrection. And I knew that in it there was something like, you know, a child's first tooth or a lock of hair or a dried wildflower or something like that. So I looked at it for a minute or two, and I thought, well, I can't wait. I'm going to open it, and this is what I saw. So that to me is confirmation. And what I then read a little note which is inside the egg, and it's a note to my father in 1933, I think, when he was 11, from his great aunt, who was born in the 1850s, and she'd written on this note something from my childhood for you to play with. And what I like to think about is when these dominoes were made out of bone with black and red on them, when they were made, did God know that one day they would be found and used to help Alex? Anyhow, of course, next day I rang up and said to Christina, I've got to come round as soon as possible to show you something. And so I raced round and gave it to Alex to open, and you should have seen him smile. And it's now on long, long loan.
I'd like to begin by thanking everybody for their prayers. They're certainly upholding me in this present time. If I could quote Winston Churchill, this is not the end, this is not the beginning of the end, but this is the end of the beginning. And something absolutely blew my mind recently. About 3 weeks ago, I woke up on a Thursday morning, I think it was, with a big lump about the size of a tennis ball on the side of my face. To cut a long story short, I was sent to the ENT ward in Trelisk. And when I went into the ward, there were three bays on the one side and two on the other. And there was a man lying on bed with a plastic container around his mouth. And it was sort of streaming with blood and mucus. And I thought to myself, he doesn't look in a very good state. So I went down and unpacked and so on. And the next morning, he had these big pipes coming out of his nose. And I said, what's the problem? He said, they can't stop the bleeding. They can't stop the mucus. And I thought, gosh, you know. He said, if it does stop, they'll send me home. So I said to him, I'm an Anglican minister. Would you like me to pray for you? He said, yes, please. So I prayed that this bleeding would stop in time for tomorrow, that the Holy Spirit would lay hands upon him, and that would be it. Well, the next morning, I got up to go to the bathroom, which was opposite his bed, and he was fully dressed and packing his bags. And I said, where are you going? He said, the bleeding stopped. Your prayers have been answered. I just felt exaltation running through my veins. I just felt, you know, with prayer, I don't know about you, but quite a lot of my prayers I have to put at the foot of the cross because I just can't do anything with them. But to get a prayer answered like this, the beginning of healing, I just went back to my bed and just thanked God and praised God. But that was not the end. Across the way, in the other bay, was a man who had been put in this ward because there wasn't another place for him. We think we've got problems, but he'd had 3/4 of his leg removed. And his name was Chris, and I said to him, why are you still here? He said, I've been here for a month because the wound isn't healing. And I noticed in the morning, two doctors would appear with some nurses, and they'd discuss things and alter the dressings and so on. And I said, well, do you mind if I pray for you? Now, when you say this to complete strangers, they'll always say yes. I said, I'll pray for the healing in your wound to begin. Okay? He said, thank you very much. Went back to, and I think this was on the Tuesday. And I prayed for him every day. Now, during this time, a friend of mine, who Christine had contacted, who worked with me in my department back in 1972 to 74, who became a Christian, rang me up. And we discussed everything and said, you know, he said, when are you coming out? So I said, possibly on Friday. So anyway, Friday came, and I thought, well, I'm going to get dressed. I'm going home. And so I got dressed, and I lay down on the bed, and, I mean, I'd have been on some very strong antibiotics, you know, which blew my mind, and I was sort of semi-comatose. And I was lying there, and all of a sudden, a voice exclaimed, it's healing! It's begun! And I thought, I woke up, I thought, and I was in heaven. You know, what's going on? And so anyway, I waited for the nurses and the doctors to disappear. I went over to Chris and I said, was I hearing things? He said, no. The nerve endings are sorting themselves out and they've got themselves in place and the healing has begun. Your prayer has been answered. And I thought, you know, I don't have magical powers and I'm an ordinary chap. And then I went back and I was sitting there and my friend Howard rang up and I told him about this. I said, I just can't quite grasp it. He said, do you realize, Howard, do you realize, Alex, that why you were sent there was for the healing of these two men? I said to Howard, that's a tough call, that I should have to go through all this for these men. You know, that was a tough call, and it really disturbed me. And as I went home, still reading my Bible, I thought about this. And these verses came to me. 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. There's another one in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now I believe that these prayers were answered out of my weakness. You know, the power was from God, and I was using the power of the Holy Spirit out of weakness. So don't be afraid of weakness. Use it. Thank you very much.
I think one thing that we missed out was what Alex has just told you happened after Pete here had been at this healing thing, must be catching.
Had this picture, and immediately it made me think of the way blood cells are made. And the way blood cells are made in the bone marrow is that they start as stem cells, and they're very, very undifferentiated. They don't really have any purpose at all. So they start like the double one, almost. And then they follow a very strict order of development up through, you know, reticulocytes, pre-reticulocytes, myelocytes, you know, all of these things until they get to the stage when they're mature. And that takes 3 months, you know, for stem cells to come up to maturity. And when I was coming down tonight, I was praying through that again. And I thought it's easy to stand up and say that Alex is being, he was being healed, he is being healed, he will be healed. But I think God wanted me to stand up and say, I believe that God has healed Alex's bones. You know, not that they are being healed now or they will be healed in the future, that they are healed now.